Now, if you remember, when you study the Bible, we always study it in its context. We, you know, interpret, study from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation. You look at verses with other verses. I mean, we do all those. But then when you come to a passage, and what we've done is we said that we study in the context, we have to look at Acts 1 through 11, 12, 13, 14, that whole section. But just for fun and to make it easier, we've decided to look at one verse. And we've said we're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we're going to observe it, then we're going to interpret it, and then we're going to apply it. And last time, we spent the time going through the observation. If you remember, in studying the Bible, three aspects. You observe it, which is what? Observation is what does it what? What does it say? Then interpretation is what does it mean? And then application is what does it mean to me? Okay, so that's the idea. And you got to be with us on this because it's not going to be any fun if I go, what's this? And everybody just sits there. So we got to do this or else we'll just go to something else. But anyway, this is fun. Now, last time we observed, which we asked questions. What questions do you ask? Who, what, where, when, why, how? Okay, and we ask those questions. You can ask those questions about a verse, a section, a book, the whole Bible. You can, anytime you come to something, you can say who, what, where, when, why, how. And what you're doing is you're observing. You're not trying to interpret yet, but you're trying to see everything is there. So we looked at this passage, and the verse that we're focusing on is for Acts 1, verse 8. If I look at it, and it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So last time we observed. Well, let's remember, who is the who? What did we see there? You saw Holy Spirit. Who? I can't hear you. You have to say it loud. The apostles. Jesus. Holy Spirit. Who else? The whole world. Okay, we saw that. That's the who. What are they talking about? What's going on? Power to witness, right? Holy Spirit coming and getting power to witness. What's the third thing? Who, what, where? Where are they? They're on the Mount of Olives, which is right outside Jerusalem, but the where also is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole earth. When? Okay, this is actually taking place on the 40th day after Jesus died and rose again because he walked on the earth for 40 days and ascended to heaven. When he gets through talking to them, he's going to ascend into heaven. So this is on the 40th day. Is there any other when in the passage? In the future, when the Holy Spirit comes and they're witnesses. Who, what, where, when, what's next? Why? Why is this happening? What's going on? Say it again. He's answering their question because they asked this question. They said, is it now time for the what? Kingdom. They said, is it time for the kingdom? And he said, no, it's not for you to know the times of the epochs which God has put, but you shall receive. And so he's answering their question is why this happens. It's not kingdom, but commission. And then what's the last thing? How? How? How does all this happen? Power of the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, sometimes in a passage, you may not be able to find out the when or the where. But most of the time you'll find out the who, you may not know a why, and those kind of things. But as a whole, when you ask those six questions, you get a big idea. So here's what we've seen. We've seen that Jesus and his apostles are on top of the Mount of Olives on the 40th day after Jesus rose from the grave. He's about to ascend into heaven. He has died and risen again, rose again, and he's there with them. They've asked him a question about, is it now time for the kingdom? Because he'd been teaching them that. He says, not for you to know that. I've got something else for you to do. In the future, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to get power, and you're going to be my witnesses, and you're going to start in Jerusalem and go to Judea, Samaria, and to the whole rest of the world. Is that not what we've seen so far? Yes, sir. Okay, that's all we've done. We've not really interpreted anything. We've just tried to see everything we could see. And as you study it, as you're looking at this, something may come up and you go, okay, I'm going to write that over to the side. Because remember when we started studying it, some of you said he's with his disciples. And when you looked at the passage and you go all the way back, the word used there is what? Apostles. So we said, well, let's think about it. What's the difference between being a disciple and being an apostle? Because he's talking to apostles here, and so things like that. So as you get ready to continue to go into interpretation, there's other things. So the first thing you do is observe. Who, what, where, when, why, how. Second thing you do is what? Interpret. And there are three big aspects of interpretation. What are the three things you look at? You look at the verbs. What's the second thing? You look at what we call the connectives. There's special words that sort of stand out that connect, that tell us the flow of the passage and give us information. And then what's the third thing? Keywords. Now, on the back of the last sheet of your study has a handout that says Bible study methods. Just flip back there for just a second. Go to the back of your handout. It says Bible study methods. I'm going to wait till everybody gets there for just a second. And you notice it says the goal of Bible study, Ezra, know the word, do the word, teach the word. Then it talks about interpretation and passages and bridging the gap, which we've all taught in this study so far. Then we've got observation, what does it say? And we list the six questions. We got interpretation, what does it mean? And we talk about verbs and connectives. And I've listed some of the main connectives for you right there. But, for, as, that, or in order that, therefore, because. There's others, but that's sort of the main ones. And then the third part is what? Key words. And that's words that you think are key, that stand out to you, that words you think in that passage, in that verse, you have to know in order to be able to understand what's going on. And then after you do observation and interpretation, what's the third thing? What is it? Application. Now, in application, there's a couple of key things. What's the first key thing in application? Do what? Okay, that's what application is. What does it mean to me? There's two things. What are those two things? Okay, you base your applications off of your interpretation. And second, you make your applications what? Personal, okay? All right, now, we've observed and we see Jesus and the apostles on top of the Mount of Olives. It's the 40th day. They've asked him a question about the kingdom. He says, not kingdom. Power of the Holy Spirit's coming. You're going to be witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what we've seen. Now, let's interpret this. Let's begin to dig into it. And I told y'all, I think you had a homework assignment. Am I correct on that? How many of you did your homework, or how many of you had your dog eat your homework? Okay. Okay. We're going to do it together, but if you've looked at it already, it's easier. But let's look at it, because the first thing you look at in interpretation is what? The verbs. Let's look at the verbs. And there are actually, I think there are three verbs. Is that correct in the passage? What's the first verb? You will receive. So if you've got a way to write it down, write this down so you can follow it. You will receive. What's the second verb? What is it? Has come upon you. Upon you is a prepositional phrase, but has come. So is and what's the third verb? Shall be. So you've got the Holy Spirit or something. It will. You shall receive. Has come, shall be. Now let's stop for a minute. Shall receive, what is that? Is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? Future. Has come, past tense, present tense, future tense? Past tense. You will be, or shall be, past tense, present tense, future tense. So we got two futures and a past. He says, but the Holy Spirit, but you will what? Will receive power. When is that? No, what does he say? What's the verb tell us? From the time this is written to these guys, when he's talking to these guys, he said, you will receive power. When is that for them? Future. After the Holy Spirit, what? Has come. That's what? Past tense from what? Not past tense from this moment, right? Past tense from what? Okay, from this Holy Spirit. And then you shall be my witnesses. Okay? In the future, they're going to get what? Holy Spirit. And in the future, when the Holy Spirit has come upon them, what will they be? What will they get? Power. And then when they get the power, what will they do? Be witnesses. Now you see the flow? He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the most part of the earth. Let's ask it this way. When will they become witnesses? After they get what? And how in the world are they going to get the power? Holy Spirit comes. So what's the order of events? Holy Spirit comes first, then they get what? Power, and then they're what? Witnesses. Now, if you're studying this passage, you say to yourself, well, first of all, for anybody to be a witness, they're going to have what? The power. And if you're going to have the power, where does the power come from? Holy Spirit. So just in interpretation for this passage, we're saying that these apostles must have, they got to wait for, and in the future, they're going to get the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, that's when they're going to get power. And when they get the power, that's when they become witnesses. So as we interpret this, we begin to say, okay, so he's telling those guys, you don't go out and witness. You can't go out and witness until, first of all, you get the Holy Spirit. When you get the Holy Spirit, that's when you get the power. And then after you get the power, that's when you can be my witnesses. Okay, does this make sense based on the verbs? Okay, so you got to dig this. You got pages full of stuff. Verbs, okay, I got it, right? So just from this little deal, we see that he says, in the future, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon them. Now, here's some questions we're going to get into in just a minute. What does it mean, come upon them? And who is this Holy Spirit? And, of course, we're just doing verbs right now, but he's going to come upon them. And then when he comes upon them, then they get the power, and then they witness. So we've got the flow. Okay, any questions? Any other verbs in the thing? We got it. What's the second thing we look at? Connectives. Now, they're all kind of connectives, right? You remember them? How many connectives are in this passage? Do you see any? Do you see how many? Just one. What is it? Okay, what does but always tell you? It's supposed to be contrast. I don't know what happened there, but it's supposed to be a contrast. It's supposed to show there's a contrast between something. Now, look in the passage and tell me what the contrast is, because he says, but. What's the contrast? Now, you're interpreting. You got to dig the scripture. You got to look at it. Go back to verse 6. What does it say? When they came together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times of the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but what? You will receive power. Now, what's the contrast? Say it. Okay, that's right. It's not the time for the kingdom, but it's time for what? To be witnesses. This is the contrast. Now, because you've got a word, but, he's telling you, he's making a contrast. It's not kingdom time. It's not for you to know this right now, but here's what you are to know. You're going to get power. Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and then you're going to be my witnesses. Okay, everybody see that? Now, some other verses, they may be three or four connectives in them, or little sections. In fact, if we have time, next week when we look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, there are about five connectives in that little section. And it shows you the whole flow of the passage. And I'll show it to you next week. This one gives you the contrast. Okay. So we've got Jesus on top of the mountain with the guys, 40 days on top of the Mount of Olives. They've asked him the question. He's told them, listen, it's not time for the kingdom, but here's what's going to happen. In the future, Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Then you're going to get power, and then you're going to be my witnesses. Okay? You're going to start where? Jerusalem, and then to where? Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, that takes us to the third thing. We've seen the verbs. We've seen the connectives. What's the third thing that we do? Keywords. Okay, somebody, let's talk about it. What's the key words? What stand out that we need to know, that we got to understand? Do what? Say it again. You. Well, definitely, as you look at that passage, you got to know who the you is. Who is the you? Let me hear this. Let me say this. Who is the you in the passage? The apostles. Sometimes people look at passages and they say things like, oh, that's me. That's us. You shall receive power. No, you weren't there. You weren't there on the 40th day that Jesus rose. There are certain people, when it says you, as Jesus talking to who? The apostles. Okay. Any other key words besides you? Power. Okay, what does it mean, power? Well, now, if we had all our tools, we would even be able to say, okay, I'm going to look up this word here. And we find, because we know some stuff, that there are two Greek words for power. One is the word dunamis, which means the authority to do something. There's another Greek word, exousia, means authority, and dunamis, which means the ability. This passage says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Do you think it's the word exousia, which means you'll receive authority when the Holy Spirit's come upon you? Or do you think it's dunamis, which means you'll receive ability when the Holy Spirit's come upon you? It is. And if you look it up, if you could look it up, and I'll show you a way without knowing any Greek that you can look up and find out what word it is and what it means. And you say, he's telling them they're going to get what? Power is a what here? It's the ability to do something. He says, I'm going to give you the ability. He says, but you will receive ability, power, when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Okay, so one of the key words is power. And that helps us to say, we're talking about the ability to do something. What else? What's another key word? Shout them out. Holy Spirit. Okay, now, when we look at this carefully, remember we talked about this last week. The key word there is not just Spirit, and the key word is not Holy Spirit. The key word is what? The Holy Spirit. Because he's not saying a Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. He's not even saying a Spirit's going upon you. He's saying the Holy Spirit's come upon you. So is there's the key word. Now let's say we're going to study it. Tell me about the Holy Spirit. Let's pretend we got books and stuff and we know stuff. Who is the Holy Spirit? Part of the Trinity. What does that mean? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So is the Holy Spirit God? If somebody asked you, is the Holy Spirit God, where could you go to the Scripture to show that the Holy Spirit is God? Acts chapter 5, where Peter says, you have lied to the Holy Spirit, you have lied to God. That's a great place to go when people don't want to hold that the Holy Spirit is God, but the Holy Spirit is God. What else? Anything else about the Holy Spirit that you want to write down because you're studying this, because you're trying to understand this passage? Okay, huh? Who is Jesus? Do you think the Holy Spirit is Jesus? Well, I don't. I mean, personally, I do. I think that Jesus is God, and I think the Holy Spirit is God, and I think the Father is God, but I think the Holy Spirit is different from Jesus and different from the Father. That's why I think it's three in one, the Trinity. They are all three God, but there's only one God, which I can't comprehend that, and nobody can. But the Bible doesn't say, sometimes it'll talk about the Spirit of Christ. And I think that's talking about how the Holy Spirit uses Christ. And we know that when Jesus walked on the earth, he was controlled by the Holy Spirit on purpose, even though he's God as well. Any other words? We've got power, Holy Spirit, anything else? Witness it. Now, that's a great, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a witness? Okay, testify. Now, let's ask this question. What are they going to testify about? He says, you shall be whose witnesses? It says my witnesses, doesn't it? Or some of your Bibles may be, you will be witnesses of me. My Bible says, and you shall be my witnesses. Who's my there? Jesus, they're going to testify about who? What are they going to testify? Okay, what has he done? Died on the cross and rose again. You think that to be a witness of Jesus Christ means that you're going to tell people how that Jesus is the Son of God and how he died on the cross and rose again, paying for sin and brings salvation? If you look in the book of Acts and you study the book of Acts, do you find that message? In fact, what I want you to understand is that every time Peter or Paul or somebody stands up and speaks through the book of Acts in a message that is recorded, there is always the death and resurrection of Christ and the issue of salvation every time. So what do we think it would mean when he says, and you shall be my witnesses? What does that mean these guys are going to do? They're going to go tell about Jesus and his what? It's death and resurrection and that he's the Savior. So we got power, which means ability. We got the Holy Spirit, which is God, who is going to give that power. We've got the fact that they're going to be witnesses. Now, the Greek word for witness, I talked about it last week. You could look it up. I could show you how to do that. And it's the Greek word martos. We get martyr from it. It means one who gives an account or a testimony. Any other words that are key? Okay, what's the other key words? You guys got any other key words? What did you say? Jerusalem. Would y'all not say that Jerusalem's probably a key word? Okay, let's pretend we look it up. What do we know about Jerusalem? Do what? Tells where it is. Okay, it is. Jerusalem is a city. What about it? Now remember, we're studying this and we're trying to interpret it and we're trying to put this together so that we can communicate truth to other people. So what do we need to know about Jerusalem? Chosen city. fact, what does Jerusalem... Say that again. Okay, it's where he's going to come back to. It's called the Holy City, isn't it? What makes Jerusalem so special? Like the temple? Is the temple there now when this is written? It is. It sure is. The temple's there. What else about Jerusalem is so important to these people? Because these guys are Jewish guys, but the church is about to begin. And so what's so important about Jerusalem? What would they think when he says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and most parts of the earth? That's exactly where they were. That's where they're going to start. Jerusalem comes from two words, which means Jehovah's peace. It's the holy city. It's the place where the Messiah's, the king and then the Messiah and all of that's going to be. And as far as these guys are concerned, who mostly lives in Jerusalem? Who? Jewish people, yeah. Now, are these apostles Jewish? All of them Jewish? Huh? Yeah, every one of them Jewish. They're Jewish. So he says, when we start looking at Jerusalem, it's the capital. It's the place of the temple. It's the religious place. It's where the Jewish people were. It's where these people were. Because here's Jerusalem. They're on the top of the Mount of Olives, which is just a short walk back to the city. Okay. What's next? What's other? Any other key words? Judea. Okay. What is Judea? It's what? It's a province. It's not a city. It's a province. In fact, if you get out a map, you'd get out a map at this time because I show you which book you got that's got a map. And you'd see that Israel is divided into three parts. Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. Three sections. Galilee was the northern part. Samaria is the middle part. And Judea is the southern part. They're going to start in Jerusalem and to where? All Judea and Samaria. So what does this tell us? They're going to start in Jerusalem. They're going to spread out to what region? Judea, and then go north to where? Samaria, because Samaria is north of that. Now, also, let's say that probably a key word would be what? Samaria. So we say, okay, what do we know about Samaria? Now, if you wanted to study Samaria, there we got books, so you could just go, whoa, I don't think I want all of this information. What do you think of when you think of Samaria? Okay, you think of Samaritan woman, you think of Samaritan people, you think of half Jew, half Gentile, you think of false worship. Let me tell you something. Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom. The Assyrians in 722 BC captured the northern empire and took off all these Jewish people into captivity. The southern empire was still going. The Assyrians took non-Jewish people from around the world and imported them in to Samaria, and the remaining Jews intermarried with these Gentiles, and so they became known as half-Jew, half-Gentile. They also set up a false worship system. So the normal Jewish person, would he like Samaritan people or not like Samaritan people? He would say Samaritan people aren't true Jews and they got false system of worship. He says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Jewish city, Judea. Yeah, we know where that is. And then where? Samaria.
You know, that probably made the apostles stop and think about that.
Well, you're right. If you remember, Jesus always went through Samaria. A lot of times people wouldn't go through Samaria, but he comes, that's where he stops at the woman at the well and all these things. And you remember one time they were going through Samaria and they needed something and the people wouldn't help them. And James and John said, why don't we just pour down fire on them? And Jesus said, no, we're not going to do that. But anyway, so did Jewish people like the Samaritans? No. He's telling them, where are they going to go? They got to go to people they don't like. Now, we're interpreting. We're putting all this down. We're saying, okay, now they're going to get power. They're going to start in Jerusalem. They're going to go to Judea. Then they have to go to Samaria. And then where? He just kind of, where does it say? Most part of the world. He just says, from then on, you've got to spread this message everywhere. Now, any other key words? Now, we're running out of time, so let's do this. What's our interpretation? What do we see as we study this passage? What do we interpret that's happening? Jesus is telling the apostles, that it's not time for them to be in the kingdom, but it is time to do what? To witness about his death and resurrection. They are to receive power to witness, and it comes from the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they get this power, then they're to begin being his witnesses, telling of his death and resurrection. They're to start in Jerusalem, and then they're to go to Judea, Samaria, and then even to the rest of the world. I have down for interpretation things like, it's not time for the kingdom, but witness. It's time for these apostles to receive power from the Holy Spirit in the future, and then they will be able to go out in his power and witness. They're to begin in Jerusalem and spread throughout the whole world. Now, we don't have the time, but you could go into much greater detail on interpreting. You could talk about witnessing. You could talk about power. You could talk about these things. Now, the interpretation of this passage is Jesus Christ gives a commission to the apostles to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit and then go out from there being his witnesses, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole rest of the world. Is that the interpretation of this verse? Now, what's the third thing? Application. What does it mean to me? Applications must be based off of our interpretations. Now, let's quickly, in the time we have remaining, we'll make applications. If we don't finish, we'll make some applications next week, and then we'll start another passage to look at. Give me some applications. You remember the two things. Base your applications off your interpretation and make your applications personal. How are you going to apply this passage? Do what? Okay, you need to witness, right? If you're going to make it personal. So we are to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. You, me, we're to be witnesses of Christ. And to get real specific, what does that mean? We're to tell people about what? His death and resurrection and how he's the Savior. That's an application, isn't it? Okay, what's another application? Say it again. The power to witness is what? The Holy Spirit. So if we're going to witness, we can't witness in what? In our strength, we must witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because that's the power to witness, right? What else? Okay, tell me. Okay, but you going to go to Jerusalem? So how are you going to make application? Huh? You start where you are. You start with your neighbor. So your application would be, I'm going to witness to the people that are closest around me to start with. That's my application of this, because they started in Jerusalem and then spread out. I'm going to start with my neighbor. I'm going to spread out from there. What else? So your application is, you're going to start where? In your own home, right there. Look at your family, right? Perfect application. What else? Huh? That's exactly one that I had. She says she's going to have to witness to people she might not like. Back when, years ago, when there was the Soviet Union, and when I grew up, we were afraid they were going to drop a bomb on us as kids, and so we were all scared, and we had all these bomb drills and everything in elementary school. And then you get older, and what if somebody tells you, we want you to go to the Soviet Union and tell them about Jesus Christ? And you'd say, I don't like them. I don't like Russians. I don't like the Soviet Union. I don't like that godless nation. That's what you would say in those days. So even today, there are people you may not like. There are people in different cultures. There are people who have different personalities. There may be somebody in your office that you work with that if somebody said to you, do you like that person? You'd say, I don't like them at all. I don't even want to be around them. What's your application of this passage? I need to go to people regardless of whether I like them or not, because they must know about Jesus. Any other applications? I got things like the power for us to witness comes from Christ, from the Holy Spirit. We're to be witnesses for Christ and tell of his death and resurrection. I begin where I live. I help get the message throughout the whole world. I go to people I may or may not like. Can you think of anything else?
You're able to witness to those people that you don't like because it's the Holy Spirit
Now, I've got one other thing I'm going to show you next week right at the start about how we would take this passage and how you could even teach others this passage. Okay? And we'll do that next week because we're out of time. And then after that, we'll get into Ephesians, if you want to. Now, if you don't want to, I'll go on to something else. But Ephesians, if you want to be looking at it, Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 is another passage we could do the same thing through. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great day. Thank you for the opportunity to look at this passage. Lord, we realize this, that we have the privilege and responsibility to be witnesses of our Savior Jesus Christ, to proclaim to this world that He died and rose again and that people can be saved through Him. We know, Lord, that we're to go from where we are right now and help spread this message throughout the world. We're to begin where we are. We know that we cannot do it in our own power. It must be the power of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And Lord, we may go to people we love, and we may not be go to people that we don't even like, but we're to take this message to the world. Lord, thank you for the Word of God, which is alive and powerful and teaches us as we see what Jesus said to His apostles on that special day. We can make application in our lives even now. Thank you for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.